God bless you. Let's turn in our Bibles, or whatever it is you're going to be going to, 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12. And verses 8 through 15, I would like to read this morning, okay? I'll wait till everybody gets there. So nice to see you today. Awesome worship service, amen. Good songs, the music, and the family, the ministry, a sense of God's goodness, His presence. Our Father is with us. And that's just a good thing. Okay, everybody with me? Good. First Chronicles, nice to see everybody today. God bless you. Let's meet together now in the Word. It says, some Gadites defected to David at his stronghold in the desert. They were brave warriors, ready for battle, and able to handle the shield and spear. Able to handle shield and spear, their faces were faces of lions. And they were as swift as gazelles in the mountains. They were as swift as gazelles in the mountains. They were capable of speeds, bursts of speeds up to 60 miles an hour, and sustained speeds of 30 miles an hour. Now, these gazelles, though, were a little bit different than that. They were mountain gazelles. So they knew how to execute mountainous terrain, these kinds of gazelles, the ups and downs, the ledges, all of those precarious things in mountains, they were good there. And he says these men had faces like faces of lions, and they were as swift as gazelles in the mountains. And then he tells us some of their names, all right? He says, Azer was the chief, Obadiah the second in command, Eliab the third, Mishmanim the fourth, Jeremiah the fifth, Attai the sixth, Elel the seventh, Johanan the eighth, Elizabeth the ninth. I would like that name, you know, Elizabeth. He's just Elizabeth. He's just Elizabeth. You know what I'm saying? If I was one of the Gadite warriors, that's what I would want my name to have been, you know? Elizabeth. Come on now. You know? Elizabeth. The ninth, Jeremiah the tenth, Macbenai the 11th. These Gadites were army commanders. The least was a match for 100, the greatest for 1,000. It was they who crossed the Jordan in the first month when it was overflowing all its banks, and they put to flight everyone living in the valleys to the east and to the west. Pray with me, will you please? Our Father, now as we come to your word on this Father's Day and we speak about these things, I pray that there would be an overwhelming sense of the Holy Spirit's presence translating for us, interpreting to us, stitching into the fabric of each father, of each man in this room today, into their lives, the Word of God. Speak to us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this morning, as we look into God's Word, I want to talk about, I want to give a father's challenge. And the father's challenge in two words would be this: step up. Step up. When I was a kid, three of my childhood heroes were the Three Stooges. And I remember one of the episodes, which they were called, of course, shorts, Three Stooges shorts, was one where they were in the Foreign Legion. And they're standing, you know, in line. Curly, my favorite, of course. Larry, Moe, and Curly. And, you know, the Foreign Legion officer was telling them about a very dangerous mission. And he's saying, you know, men, I'm looking for a volunteer. This is a very dangerous mission. And the likelihood of you returning are very slim, but it's very important. So, you know, it'll probably cost you your life. Will somebody please step up, step forward? And if you've seen it, you know what happens. Mo and Larry do one of these. And Curly is just standing there. You know, congratulations. You know, thank you very much. You know, and he does woo, woo, woo. You know, it's like, what did I do? What did I do? And as funny as that is, it's a sad description sometimes of what happens to some of us who are fathers when we're called upon to step up in the face of Goliath-sized challenges that we face as fathers. And speaking to fathers, speaking to men as well. And the Goliath-sized challenges that we face as fathers, as men, they creating us this fight or flight response. Sometimes there is that response that wells up within us to fight. At other times, we're just wanting to run away from situations. Instead of stepping up, we step off to these kinds of challenges. And I want to say that it's a battle to be a good father. Having been a father for since I was, 22? 22, so that's 22, I'm 60, whatever, how many, I'm very bad at math. It's a long time, 38 years, thank you. That I can tell you from firsthand experience that it's a battle to be a good father. That, among other things, it takes a warrior's heart to be a good father. And so this morning, I want to say welcome to our training session. Welcome to our training session, this training session is about, and here's the challenge, a father's challenge to step up, to add a little bit more meat to that skeleton, is this: to see yourself as a warrior, and seeing yourself as a warrior, to be clear on what you're fighting for. To be clear on that. What you're fighting for. I like reading my quotes that I use and my message from the actual book because it also becomes an advertisement, you know. And I would like to recommend this book by John Eldridge. You're going to hear the quote in a moment. It goes along with the statement that I just made, called Wild at Heart. If you don't have this book, you need to get it. If you can't afford it, see me. I'll buy it for you, I promise. I mean that. If you can't get it, I'll buy it for you. Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. He says, life needs a man to be fierce and fiercely devoted. The wounds he will take throughout his life will cause him. We could say life takes a father to be fierce, fiercely devoted. The wounds he will take throughout his life will cause him to lose heart if all he has been trained is to be soft. And so welcome to this training session this morning, training session that I hope by the end of it we'll have this sense about us men and fathers that sometimes, if not most of the time, it takes a lot more than just to be nice. I think that nice has its place, but we also have to see ourselves as something is brought to us in this passage here that we're looking at. We are made in God's image, and we need to see ourselves as these great warriors who had faces like lions. You know, when you met one of these guys and you shook your hand, your first impression would not have been, boy, what a nice guy he is. I just don't think so. Probably there would be a tremendous sense of intimidation that you would feel from one of these guys. You know, if I go up to him and greet him, you know, is he going to kill me? Type of thing. You'd hear a growl. I mean, these guys had faces like lions, and they just knew how to endure, let alone maneuver, mountainous terrain quickly. These guys were something. They were anything but soft. Anything but soft. And I think that don't be sorry. If it's for me, I can't take it. And the thing that we have to see here in this passage is this. We are made in God's image. Let me say it again. And we must see ourselves as great warriors, faces like lions. And then it says, look at the kind of commanders, the kind of guys these were. These were the kind of men that they can handle. It said the least of them could handle 100 men. You understand what it's saying there? One guy can go up, one of these men here could go up against one and mow him over. The least, the greatest, he's good for 1,000 guys. Do you understand what kind of men, the fierceness that was in these guys' lives? That they could be cut off in traffic by a lady when they're in a hurry and not lose their cool because they were fierce in their heart. And I could add more descriptions to that, but we need to keep on going. I want you to feel something, men, this morning. It says that it was they who crossed the Jordan in the first month when it was overflowing at its banks. In other words, what it was saying was, as they had set this goal to get themselves to David, so they have a purpose. They've set a course for themselves. And having set a course for themselves, having determined it, they came up against an obstacle that seemed to them impassable. It says the waters of the Jordan were overflowing. When the waters of the Jordan are overflowing, it's a raging river that appears to be uncrossable. And yet it says these men were so fierce, were so filled with it, that they said, we can do it. We can cross this thing, even though it's like this. It's not going to stop us from the purpose that we've determined to accomplish. These guys were real men. Real men. And then it says, and everyone in the valleys, they dealt with obstacles that needed to be dealt with, and they made it. Now, being made in God's image, you may not think of yourself this way, and I'm here to help you this morning to think of yourself this way as these Gadites were. Did you know in Exodus 15 and verse 3, it says this about the Lord in whose image we are made? It says, the Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Did you know that about God? That God is a warrior. He is fierce, as fierce can be. And we are made in his image, guys. We are made in our God's image. We are made to have faces like lions. We are made not to be soft, but to be hard. We are made to execute, having committed ourselves to a course of action, to execute it through whatever the obstacles be. And to do anything less is to wimp out. To do anything less is to be soft and to be nothing but a crybaby. Crybaby. Now, I think that there's a softness that's appropriate. I have cried. I almost cried this morning during our worship. Tears of joy. I think that there's a place for crying. Sadness, of course. And yet at the same time, for heaven's sake, you just got to know how to suck it up, man up, and let's get on with it. And there are just too many wimpy men. I want to show you, you say, what would a warrior's pose look like? What would a warrior's pose look like? And, you know, we have Superman, right? And the Superman pose is what? I wish I had a cape, you know, and a big S on my shirt right now, you know. The Superman's pose, right? Andre, just sit there. I'll slap you. Just sit there. You know? What are you thinking to say? What are you thinking? You know? Yeah, I'll slap you. I will slap you. And, you know, we have, but seriously, though, you know, we have this, right, the Superman pose, you know, and you have this, you know, that rock solid, and you think, boy, you know, a man's man, and leap tall buildings in a single bound, right? Stop speeding bullets, what is it all? I don't know, out locomotive, all this stuff, you know, and you got the superheroes. And I want to say to you, that is not the image of a warrior's heart. Thank you. That's not the image. Did I give you the... Sandra, did you just take that? Was that this morning, Sandra? Was that this morning you took that? And what I want to say to you is that that is not the image. That's not the image of the kind of fierceness, warrior-like fighter that we are made in the image of. It's not. That's not the pose. Can I show you the pose? I'll show you what the pose is, you know. This is the pose. This is the pose. You know, this is the pose. This is a warrior. This is a man. You know, and you're there, and it's like, oh God. Oh God. Now these are the poses. Warriors before God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. These are the poses. This is the pose, you know. This is the pose. And we have to see ourselves. Because how we see ourselves is important, because we become what we behold. We do. We become what we behold. And so it's important for us to see ourselves as having a warrior's heart in this kind of way, because a warrior's heart is a must for every father. It's a must. And so that's what I want you to, that's how I want you to see yourself this morning. And then these are a couple of things that I want to be clear on. Actually, one thing I want us to be clear on, of what you're fighting for, of what I'm fighting for as a father, as a man. Now, there's one thing in particular, okay, that I want to get at, that I want to spotlight more than any other thing, that we must be clear on of what I'm fighting for. But I just let me mention a couple of other things before we get to that one thing, okay, what I'm fighting for. Well, I would say, first of all, You know what, I think that before we get to the spotlight here of the main character, we need to see that, I need to see that I'm fighting for my integrity. I'm fighting for my integrity. Every day, we are faced with challenges to compromise our integrity. Be it on the workplace, my internal life, you know, what I put my mind on, decisions that I make, decisions that I don't make. My integrity is tested. And so much can be said about that. Now remember, now I want to get to the one thing. But we are fighting, and there is a fierceness that has to come into our lives as men to be uncompromising when it comes to our integrity. Because at the end of the day, all you have is your integrity. Whatever it is that you might lose by compromising, whether it be being dishonest, compromising in one way or another, if you lose your integrity by compromise, you have lost your very soul. And you may not get it back. You may not get it back. And so I'm fighting for my integrity here. And you better believe it's a fight. You know? To what? Come on. See no? Hear no? Right? Fight for my integrity. See? Here's another one. I'm fighting for my wife and I'm fighting for my kids. I'm fighting for them. Yeah. There isn't a day goes by that I don't pray for my wife. God help her. You know what she lives with. And for my kids, you say, well, you know, they're grown and on their own and whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah, what damage, you know, they can make me look a lot worse now than they did when they were living at home. At least when they lived home, I had a little control over it. No, I fight for my kids. And as they were growing up, I fought for them. You know? And there are all kinds of ways that we can do that in fighting for our kids. And here's the thing that I want to draw your attention to in mentioning this one real quick, and that's this. That in fighting for them, as we see here in this passage, that these men could use a shield and a spear. And in general, the shield, a defensive weapon. See, the sword, an offensive weapon. And I'm going to be on the defense against, I'm fighting against my wife and my kids becoming gods in my life. From becoming idols in my life as a husband to my wife, as a father to my children, that they are not going to become inside of me and fill a spot that only God has, a spot that's only reserved for God. Oh, that happened so easily. Why do you think it was that God said to Abraham, take now Isaac, your only son, and offer him up to me? Because the potential existed for Isaac to become to Abraham something God never intended, even though God put in Isaac the promise. Wow. And this happened so easily. So easily. And it's not my intention this morning to belabor that point either, because I've spotlighted one big one that's coming up. But just to say it. And here's the next one that we have to fight for. We have to fight for when the storms come that I maintain my equilibrium and navigate through the storms instead of becoming crashed on the rocks when the storms hit. You know, storms come, and it amazes me. You know, with some storms that guys face, you know, it's like, yeah, on my way to work this morning, got a flat tire. You know, don't know what the H is going on. God deserted me. It's like, really? That's what it took? Really? You're kidding me, right? That's what it did for you to go nuts in the storm? And don't get me wrong, that these things become exaggerated in our lives, but the point that I'm making by this point is we have to fight. Listen, storms are going to come. Listen, I'm going to prophesy to you right now. You are going to face lots of storms. I don't care how old you are. You know, you say, well, you know, listen, God, I'm 60. I've weathered enough storms. I should be through them all now. And it's like he laughs. Because in the world you shall have what? And if you're going to make it, you got to become a Gadite warrior. To fight, to navigate through the storm. Fight to navigate through the storm. When the storms come, I navigate through them. I'm going to fight through this difficulty. I'm not going to let this difficulty damage me. I'm not going to let this difficulty detour me. I'm not going to let this difficulty distract me. I'm going to navigate through this thing. God's doing something. I don't know what, but he's doing something. I'm fighting to navigate through this thing. And then I'll just say this last one before we get to our main guy here. And that is this. If you fall, fight to get back up, for heaven's sake. And I want to say this. When you fall, it will take a fight to get back up. It takes a fight. But for, get up. Get up. However it is that you got to get up, whatever amends that have to be made, because getting up and going on is worth it. Once again, your soul is at stake. If you stay down, you lose it. If you get up, you get it back. Here's the last one. You ready? Here's the last one. Here's the one thing. As someone has said, if the secret of happiness is to find something more important than you are and to dedicate your life to it, then I would say that it's the thing that we fight for the most is to dedicate myself as a man to be above all a man of God. And that's what I want to spotlight. If that's the secret of happiness, then I think that the most important thing in my life, above everything, you see, you know, the secret of happiness is, you know, pursuing the American dream. And, you know, the American dream is what? What's the American dream? You got a house, couple of cars, cat, dog. Don't forget the happiest place on earth. What? The cult of the Disney cult. That's right. I'll call it a cult. The Disney cult. You think I'm kidding you? It's a cult. Did you know the happiest place on earth when you walk Main Street Disney? There's no church there. Think about it. Why? Because Disney is the church. You think I'm kidding you? They've made a religion out of it. But anyways, you say, well, you know, and Bob, why are you bashing Disney? Well, because I'm just mean and ugly today. You got to have to bash Disney, don't you guys? I mean, think about it. Sorry, Sandra. I'm going to hear from you later, I know. You see, because it's men of God who make the best fathers. Did you hear me? It's men of God who make the best fathers. And so it's like I'm investing my life to seek spiritual things. I'm investing my life in becoming a man of God above my toys. My toys. You know, you talk about a man, you talk about his what? His man toys, right? Man and his man toys, you know. And it's like, you know, you say, do I have a list of man toys? Oh, I can tell you a list of man toys that I would like. Top of the list, a 57, 56 Chevy. I'm telling you right now. I would love one. Convertible. Aqua and white or red and white. I'll take either one. I'll take it. I can list my toys. But as God is my witness, and my wife will attest to this, I can care 2 cents about those things above being a man of God. Take it all away. Take it all away. I want spiritual things. You know? I want spiritual things. I'll never forget the time that I made somewhat of a statement like that. I was teaching, and I made a statement like, I wouldn't trade this for $1 million, you know. And shortly after that, we went on vacation. The kids were young, and especially in those days, we didn't have much money, and we went on vacation with, I think, $300. It was $300. That was it. And so we went into a restaurant to eat. And when we left the restaurant and got in the car and off, we were going to the next place, Sandra noticed that she didn't have her pocketbook. Oh, no, the pocketbook got stolen. Oh, Sandra, by the way, where's the $300 vacation money? Was in my pocketbook. Well, needless to say, I didn't remain cool, calm, and collected. Instead, I was like, you know, oh, no, you know, what are we going to do now, right? You know, and it's like, and I freaked. I'm serious. I freaked. And I'm like, and I'm caught, you know, I'm calling the cops, you know, with all this stuff, and I'm freaking out. And listen, you know things are bad when your wife says to you, stop acting like a girl. Now, she didn't say it at that moment, but she has said to me at different times, stop acting like a girl. Well, I wanted to slap her, but I couldn't because she's not a man, you know. and it's like I have to stop and realize, I better go put on my boxers and take off my little girl underwear here because she's right. And as I'm flipping out, okay, I heard the Lord say to me this, as loud if he were on a megaphone. He said to me, Bob, you're not denying me for $1 million. You're denying me for a lot less. You're denying me for $300. You talk about eating humble pie right there on the spot. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Yes, I am. It's like, for heaven's sake, man up. It's like, okay, you know, I know what we'll do. We'll retrace our steps. We retraced our steps. Went back to the restaurant. And it's like, you know, early on, it's like, oh, it's gone. Pocketbook left, it's gone. You know, it's gone. And we walk in, the rest, you know, and there's the pocketbook, you know, sitting underneath the table. And off we go. You dedicate yourself to be a man of God. And so, this morning, I want to call each of you men to dedicate yourselves to something bigger than you are, to invest your life in being a man of God, to say, yes, I'm committing to being that man of God, and to have this kind of sense where we say, God, put within me as a man, as a father, a warrior's heart.
put that in me. You know? And there's no way that I'm suggesting, you know, go around and being mean and all this. It has nothing to do with that. You know, sometimes the most fiercest thing to be is polite and courteous. Polite and courteous, you know. But I'm calling each of you men to step up. And if you can't step up, step off. Yeah. Don't play it both ways. Step off. To see that there are Goliath-like challenges. There are. You're facing them, aren't you? Don't you have any Goliath-sized challenges in your life? If not, would you hear a couple of mine and help me? Yeah. And to say, for all of those things and more, God put a warrior's heart. You have put a warrior's heart in me. Help me to live up to it. You have put a warrior's heart within me. Help me to live up to it. So, I don't know. Why don't you give me some music and we're going to have an altar call, okay? Thank you. Just play some kind of, I don't know, military tune or something. I don't know. Going to Kill Goliath. Isn't there a song like that or something? You know, it's like, you know, how many of you used to watch a Red Green show? Thank you. What sheltered life, some of you, the Red Green show, the man prayer. The end, you know, I'm a man. I can change if I have to. I guess. That was their man prayer that they would say at the end of the show. No, I'm a man. God's changing my life. There's Goliaths out there. I can take them on. I got a warrior's heart because I'm made in the image of a warrior God. That's whose image I'm made. I've had people say to me, you know what, Bob, you're a dangerous person. They weren't being flattering. They weren't being flattering when they said that. You're dangerous. Yep, that's right. I'm dangerous. Yep. Yep. Because I have set my sights on this. I refuse to be innocuous. You know what innocuous is? Harmless. For heaven's sake. We idolize the wrong people. And that's why I hold up before you, I want to be like these Gadites.